Welcome to the Floor Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 11th of August, and I am recording at 9:42 p.m., and that is in London, and it is British, where it is British summertime. Okay, well, you know, Halloween is over 2 months away, but these are scary markets in here right now. They are, of course, occurring during a seasonal period of underperformance that runs from May through October. And we're getting an awful lot of choppy activity. Yesterday was quite encouraging, and again, taking the lead from China. China has been providing the lead here for the last few days. And it knocked everything back in here again today. Shows the influence of that very big country and very, very big market, more importantly. So, what's happening here? First on stock markets, well, Japan down in here somewhat today. That Nikkei 225 got up and looked at its recovery highs and then backed off during the day, down 0.42%. What concerns me is that the second section index, that's the TSE2 index, that's the leading one that I often refer to, and it's still heading down. And while that's heading down, I will assume that Japan is a little susceptible to some profit taking. Although I look at the yen here, and it's 125.16 against the dollar, so that the yen's weakening, and that'll help it a little bit, quite possibly. But China, well, what was the big story in here today? You probably heard about it, but they've devalued. Now, it wasn't all that much, 1.9%. But it certainly came as a surprise because they had pegged the renminbi against the U.S. dollar, and then boom, right out of the blue, they devalue. Well, I suppose one could say the evidence on China's economy was so weak that that was inevitably going to be a possibility, and then we'd seen so many devaluations or weak currencies, I should say, among the other Asian countries. So I guess in hindsight, always 2020, that it's not all that surprising. But my goodness, it did royal markets in here today. And looking at the Asia Pacific area, they're almost all lower, and some of them sharply lower. Singapore, you know, over 1%. So is Malaysia. Those are the two biggest that I see in here today. Taiwan, that also clipped. Really, not much to the upside. And looking at Europe. Europe was hit hard, and particularly Germany, and that's down 2.68%. Now people are saying, well, they're going to sell fewer luxury cars into China, which had been an extremely good market for Germany, and well, fair point here overall. But you see the nervousness that we have in these markets. And what does that do? Well, it frightens investors away, I think, more than anything else. And things have to get really depressed before you get the Warren Buffett types running in aggressively. But again, these European markets mostly down big percentages, most of them clearly over 1%. In here today, and the Euro Stoxx 50 index down 1.9%. So very sharp selling in Europe, and that's got, of course, the big QE program going on. So Again, it just highlights the nervousness that we see in here today. Wall Street, not a good day. And the Dow down 1.2%, the S&P almost 1%, and the Nasdaq just over 1.25 percentage points. Apple, not looking healthy. That fell back sharply. It had rallied right up underneath its trading range, and just back up to that 121 level, and then fell right back from it. Okay, so stock markets, a lot of red, showing really across the boards. Well, what did that do to government bonds? You'd hardly be surprised to hear that the yields came down on U.S. Treasuries. And this is a new closing low for the last couple of months, 2.139. The VIX index pushed up, but not as much as it might have in here. 13.71, up from the lower side of its overall trading range. Now, the US dollar, which I maintain is a big concern of the for the Fed overall, 97.21. And you know, if you had very strong growth in the US, that would be one thing, but if you really have a sort of a faltering economy showing some signs of recovery and other signs of weakness, well, that's what we've had pretty much for the last 6.5 years or so, isn't it? That's not an environment in which you want to see a currency moving up strongly, particularly as there's very little in the way of actual inflationary pressures in these markets right now. So, in terms of other currencies, euro a little firmer, 1.104. Sterling giving up a little bit, but it's not much change there, 1.5574. It's you really have to look at those Asia Pacific currencies. That's where we saw the real weakness there, led by led by China, which obviously didn't help the so-called little tigers stock markets there as well. And what about commodities? There are a lot of people who've been saying, well, this is climactic activity. Well, I've said that that was a climactic move, that they were all moving down together and becoming quite overextended on the downside, and that would set them up for technical rallies. But a lot of people, evidently, I haven't seen it, but evidently from Jeremy Grantham, for whom I have a great deal of respect, who doesn't? And an article in Barron's, I believe, I was told about, I haven't seen it, but all saying that it's time to be buying commodities in here. And I had lunch with a distinguished friend here today who been in the markets longer than I have, and he was liking commodities. Well, I'd just be a little bit careful. What I have said is that the lower they go, the more interesting they become. And that's just a fact. We know that the world is going to remain interested in just about all commodities, but we also know that there are a lot of factors which can delay a recovery. First, if you have a weak Chinese economy that's moving away from the big industrial metal bashing. If you have mining industries that are cutting back overheads, they're producing, but they're able to produce more efficiently. I said, as I'm bringing in the technology factor here, can produce a lot more efficiently. This is a very long-term story, really going back right to the early days. Go back at least a couple of centuries, that it was very difficult to produce commodities. in terms of inefficient farming for the agricultural sector, and much more vulnerable crops, and mining being exceedingly difficult. Not much equipment to use there, other than shovels and picks and shovels. And really, throughout that whole period, we have become more efficient at producing commodities, and it's given commodities get some very big swings, as you know, but the overall long-term trend is downwards for commodities. So bring it right back to where we are here today. Prices are lower, but I don't think that the major bottom is in yet. Now, they won't all bottom at the same time, but I would be cautious still on this. I had someone saying to me that silver, well, they really liked silver because silver mining companies, there aren't that many of them that are pure silver, silver miners, but they were saying they were down 80% from their highs. Well, that high back in 2011 was up at $50. That was the same level as the Bunker Hunt high, all back in the end of the last century. So that was a huge bubble price up at $50. And obviously, silver shares would have done spectacularly well in that. So to be down 80%, are they all that cheap? Now, veteran subscribers will remember back at the beginning of this century, well, a couple of years into it, I can remember buying silver in 2001, 2002. Really getting underway and buying silver down below $2. And today the silver price itself is at $15.32 as I speak. So, these things can still come lower. They can produce, we haven't run out of silver, we're not running out of any commodity. And there have been lots of stories about commodities running out, but none of them have been accurate. And we can produce them far more efficiently, and that's what's going on. So I think that we're getting some sporadic technical rallies in here, and then I think we'll see commodities push down somewhat lower. And as I said before, in talking about these commodities, the lower they go, the more interesting they become. But I would certainly not be rushing in aggressively at this stage. Well, what happened in here today on commodities? Well, oil is weak. The WTI crude down to 43.09. That's down $1.87. The Brent is at 49.10, and that's down $1.31. In here today, so giving up most of yesterday's gains. Sugar a little firmer, coffee firmer. Lumber getting clobbered. I'm just looking, reading these off my screen here. Let's see. Gold. Let's take all three of the precious metals. Palladium. Back just under the $600 level, down over 6 in here today. Silver, tiny bit higher, 3 cents higher, $15.32. Platinum down a couple of dollars, 987.6. Gold bullion, 1109. Gold's up $4.50, little steadier than the others at the moment. So again, sum it up on these commodities, periodic technical rallies, and most are still oversold here right now on a short-term basis, Maybe we could get and they also look another measure of that is that they look overextended relative to their declining 200-day moving averages. But is this the end of the bear market and the beginning of a big bull market? I just don't think so. Okay, and on that note, all the very best to all of you.